We're glad you've joined us this morning for the Word for Life radio ministry. Often we have the opportunity just to share a Bible study with you, and that's what we'd like to do for the next couple of times. Joshua chapter 20 has an amazing story. It tells of God's provision. Now, take that word provision, divide it up. Pro means before, vision means to see. So God, in essence, saw ahead of time a need that was going to be evident once the children of Israel entered into the promised land. And so he made a provision to meet that need. It was called a city of refuge. In fact, there were six of them. The six cities of refuge. So that someone who accidentally killed someone would have a place to run. Listen carefully as I read the short story. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come into his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer, in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. It's an amazing story. When a man needed a place of refuge, when he needed a place to hide, when he had accidentally killed someone, to be able to know that there was a place that he could run. In fact, there were six cities to which he could run, to any one of them, and know that he would have the opportunity to present his case, the opportunity to say how he accidentally killed this person. The judges of that city would listen to his story. Now, the avenger of blood that is mentioned in this passage was a person that was assigned by the family who had lost a loved one. And they would probably choose the biggest, strongest, toughest person in their family. And they would say, you go find this person that has killed our relative, and you kill him in return. And so consequently, the law said if the avenger of blood, or the relative of the dead loved one, if the avenger of blood found the one who accidentally killed their relative outside of a city of refuge, he was free to kill him as well. It was according to law. But if that man had made it to one of the six cities that's called the cities of refuge, then the avenger of blood would enter into that city and would tell his side of the story. And then the judges, the leaders of those six cities, would make their decision. Now, when you think of facing a catastrophe like that, it would cause fear in your heart, where all of a sudden everything was going well. In fact, in Numbers chapter 35 and Deuteronomy chapters 4 and 19 tell more of the stories of how these cities were set up. It talked about how if you were in the field and an axe head flew off of your axe handle and accidentally flew and hit someone in the head and accidentally killed him, You were innocent, but you were guilty of the murder, the death of that person. You would immediately flee to one of these cities. And so anytime a catastrophe would take place, if you felt like you were innocent, bam, away you would go, running for the closest city. Now, you know, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, use that same word, refuge, as the cities of refuge were mentioned in the Old Testament. But here in the New Testament, it was talking about a refuge that you and I need from the worst possible thing that we could face. And that is the eternal fear of living apart from God and eternal punishment for our sins. But the Bible describes Jesus as our refuge. Listen to Hebrews 6:18. It says, "For it is impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before him." Do you see it? Now, the word refuge there is the same Greek word that is used when they translated the Old Testament out of Hebrew into Greek. It was called the Septuagint. And they would translate the Hebrew words into Greek. So the word refuge in Hebrews is the exact same word that they used to translate Joshua chapter 20. And so we see then that the cities of refuge were a picture of the refuge that you and I would need with the need for salvation. And it says in the next verse, "which hope we have as an anchor of the soul." And that definitely is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. He becomes the anchor of our soul. And it says, "both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." And so we know that the anchor that we have in Jesus Christ is sure and steadfast. Somebody well said that you never would appreciate the value of the anchor until you had experienced the severity of the storm. And when you and I begin to go through the horrible storms of life and we begin to understand that God is one day going to hold each one of us accountable for our sins, our rebellion against the Lord, our rebellion against what God said was right, which is normal for all of us, that one day that would be the greatest catastrophe that we would face. But you know what? We have a refuge. It's a refuge for our soul. And as we study the cities of refuge in Joshua chapter 20, we will see so many parallels that I believe God was trying to show us by setting up these cities of refuge. Now, there were six of them described in this passage. It was a place to flee when an accidental death had occurred under your hand. I remember when I was a young boy, I was pitching horseshoe in the backyard. My brother was at the other end, and he would pick up the horseshoes that I would pitch down at the end, and he would pitch them back, and we were playing back and forth. And just as I pitched a horseshoe, my next-door neighbor came running into our backyard. Unbeknownst to me, had no clue he was anywhere around, and the horseshoe hit him right against the side of his head, knocked him out cold. You talk about scared. I mean, I had no clue exactly what his condition was. Now, if that had killed him, and if we were living in the Old Testament time, I would immediately need to be running for a city of refuge. Now, accidental death. Now, that's the key. See, cities of refuge were not open for anyone who was guilty of premeditated murder. In fact, Numbers chapter 35 tells us that a deliberate homicide would involve three things. First of all, a clear motive, and that everybody knew you had a motive to kill that person. And secondly, a clear intent. In fact, it says in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 42 that you had to be sure that everybody knew that you did not hate this person in the past. It's the way it put it. And then thirdly, a prepared instrument. In other words, did you have a club or a stone or something with which you had previously prepared yourself so that when you had the opportunity, you would kill this person? Those are the three things that a deliberate homicide would have to have. Those are the three things that the judges in the city of refuge would be looking for. And once those things were established, then no city of refuge would help if you made it into the city of refuge and then they determined that those three things were true, you had a clear intent, clear motive, and a prepared instrument, you'd be declared guilty. And after a trial by the leaders of the city, you would be killed. Now, I want you to notice several things about the cities of refuge. First of all, it says in Joshua chapter 20 and verse 2 that these were appointed by God himself. By God himself. In other words, we can see this act of grace coming from the heart of God. You see, long before they were ever needed, God set them up. It's kind of like the Lord setting up a plan for our sins to be forgiven long before man even sinned the first time. Long before Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 says that the Lamb in the mind of God was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, God being omniscient, all-knowing, God knew that man would rebel. God knew that man would sin. And so God knew that man would need a Savior. And so God had a plan. Before the foundations of the earth, before there was ever a need, God had a plan to meet that need with the death of his Son, paying the price for our sin. And so just as God appointed these cities, God appointed Calvary. God appointed the death of his Son. And that's why these cities and the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross both picture the heart of a loving God. Reminds us of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How is that possible? God's plan, before the need was even there. So God himself appointed these cities, we see in Joshua 20 and verse 2. We see in verse 3 that God's word announced these cities of refuge. Six cities were designated in verses 7 and 8. They were named. And as a result of that, they could never be changed. They could never be eliminated. In other words, no one could come along and say, I'm going to make the decision that this city of refuge is no longer a city of refuge. It'd be very easy for someone of great power and influence whose relative had been killed to find someone in that city of refuge. And if that person of great influence and power simply said, well, we're going to change this city. It's no longer a city of refuge. If that were possible, then the person that had accidentally killed his relative would immediately be in great danger. But you see, God's word announced these cities, and once it was established by the Lord, it was firm. Join us the next time as we continue this very interesting study and how we see these cities of refuge are pictures of the refuge that you and I are offered in Christ Jesus. I trust you have run to him for refuge.